Some have been compromised from within by Satanists and Masons, communists, and at large have lost the faith. However, a tiny underground segment of the church is still alive and authentic. Few find it because of the corruption on the surface of the institution. They're turned off when they see and hear that. But for those who doggedly pursue the truth and want to go deeper, to live what Jesus taught, the gates of hell have not prevailed, and the glorious riches of the faith are there for those who care nothing for the opinions of men, who ridicule you when you want to go deeper, and those who seek only the Lord and practice what he taught. If you are one of those, you will go deeper until you really are satisfied that you've embraced the truth. He knows all the hidden darkness and sins of our lives, but loves us to utter distraction. He rescues us from the murky waters of men's ideas and guides us through the crocodile-infested waters, through the filthy marsh of Satan's lies about you being a hopeless failure, about Jesus being a mean and unmerciful God. What most do not understand is in the Old Testament, God was merciless with those who tortured and ate their babies, sacrificing them to Baal, and doing the unthinkable with animals. Because the animals and people were demonized by these practices, they had to be cleansed from the land so these satanic practices would not be embraced and perpetuated by the Israelites. But for those seeking to live the truth with all their hearts, for those, he is pure affection, love, and mercy, and likens the relationship he wants to have with us to the married union. Not in the carnal sense. We receive Jesus sacramentally in the blessed and consecrated elements of bread and wine in communion. These are some of the things that are distorted and hidden from the modern church and those who are so very lost and need more help, more understanding to their sanctification, their faith in Christ. This is the Jesus we need to reach them with, and Satan is in an all-out war with us because his time is short and coming to an end. So he attacks and torments the body of Christ to prevent us from bringing the message to those who need it the most. This is the reason why the world is getting so very, very dark, bitter, and loveless, more than it has ever been, and the devil knows his time is short. So as we stand in the gap, we are buffeted and attacked in every conceivable way, from the physical to the psychological and emotional, and especially spiritually. We are suffering right now because the Lord needs our offerings, our fasts, and our willingness to go the extra 100 miles out of our way to save others. This is why every time you and I turn around, we are opposed, contradicted, misunderstood, and lied about. In Colossians 1, Paul writes, "I find great joy at present in suffering for you, and in my own body I am completing the sufferings that still must be undergone by Christ for the sake of his body, the church." For the sake of his body, the church, nothing is lacking in the sufferings of Christ, but believers who from a single reality with him, his body, prolong and complete his paschal mystery of death and resurrection by their trials and sufferings. In summary, dear ones, these scriptures say it all and explain why things are so very hard in our lives right now. Don't give in to discouragement, because we are on the final lap and very close to the rapture. But it does make sense that when the end came closer, things would get harder. They must, in order to release graces for the lost before it's too late. Yes, our sufferings release graces. That's why we fast. Grace is the gift of God, but it is released through our generous participation in His suffering. Here's the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, since we are engaged in this ministry through the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced shameful and hidden ways. We do not engage in deception or falsify or modernize, I am adding, the word of God. If our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, those unbelievers whose minds have been blinded by the God of this world. For instance, prosperity gospel, that everything's okay, you should never be sick, you should always have everything you need. The prosperity gospel, blinded by the God of this world to prevent them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. We do not proclaim ourselves, rather we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for the sake of Jesus. For the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has enabled His light to shine in our hearts in order to enlighten them with the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. However, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels so that it may be clear that this immense power belongs to God and does not derive from us. We are afflicted on all sides, but not crushed, bewildered but not sunk in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For in our lives we are constantly being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our mortal flesh. As a result, death is at work in us, but life in you. And as Franciscans, how many times have we been ridiculed for our vow of evangelical poverty, which merely means that we reject the superfluity of the modern world in order to have more of Jesus, more time with Him, more ability to work for Him. He continues and says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outer self is continuing to decay. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I know my physical body is getting older. I'm surely aware of it, but I feel so young. I feel like I'm in my 20s. It's a beautiful thing, and that renewal is coming from my relationship with the Lord and His Word. And how many people think that Christians should always be perfect, have an exciting and fun-filled life with all kinds of possessions and abilities to do all kinds of recreational things. And they look at the ones that are poor and sickly and think of them as the underprivileged, as the ones who didn't make it into the good life of Christianity. They're still on the outside. They just don't have the faith or whatever the assignment is to their motives. What a lie that is. Our temporary light afflictions are preparing us for an incomparable weight of eternal glory. For our eyes are fixed not on what is seen, not on the things of the world, the accumulations, the privileges, the lifestyles, but rather on that which cannot be seen. What is visible is transitory. What is invisible is eternal. And these quotes are partially from the NCB Bible, the New Catholic Bible, which I've not done a thorough study of what is in this Bible, but So please don't take it literally. I have much to learn yet what is in it, but it seems to me that it's going in the right direction. Dear ones, we're on the verge of our incomparable weight of eternal glory. We must keep our eyes fixed on what cannot be seen. That which is invisible is eternal, and we are approaching the rapture and allowing our sweet Jesus to take as much as he needs from us to save those he weeps for. Hang in there. It is coming. It will be over soon enough. Don't lose hope, and count it all joy that we are worthy to share in the same contradictions and persecutions that Jesus suffered for us. Amen.